Queer is a blanket term in the LGBT community for anyone that is lesbian, gay, transgender, bisexual, asexual, pansexual, or questioning. On today's program, we'll hear from Jamie Campbell, the Ally Safe Schools Program Associate at Mazzoni Center here in Philadelphia, about gender, being queer, and the boundary or boundaries between female and male, or vice versa. I'm Wynne Geary. Stay with us.
I was born in Philly. Start there.
Good.
Yeah. I was born in Philly.
Yes.
And I went to high school in the suburbs. And I actually started the Gay Straight Alliance at my high school, Upper Dublin High School, with one other person. So it was basically like, we're the gay kids, and these are our allies, and this is a safe space. Then I went off to San Francisco right after graduation, and I lived there for 13 years. And I worked with gender variant youth and did a lot of work in public health around HIV and did a lot of work with trans folks. And so through my own personal journey, I learned that I don't believe in the two gender binary. I believe that there is more than just men and women, that genders, kind of like race, are multifaceted, and that there are so many different combinations. And I find that people don't really explore gender or have a lot of fun with it. And I like to have a lot of fun with gender. If you have African American on one end of the spectrum and Caucasian on the other end of the spectrum, so thinking of gender, right? If you have man on one end and woman on the other. So if you think about it like race, if you have African American and Caucasian, no one is going to say the midway point between those two races is Puerto Rican. You know,
yeah.
No one would say that with race. And yet people think that if you have man on one end of the spectrum and woman on the other end of the spectrum, transgender is the midway point, when that's actually not the case. Transgender is whatever fun you want to have with gender. It's whatever expression you want to make that day. Some people call it queer. Some people call it genderqueer. There are some transgender people who really go from, you know, woman to man and man to woman, and that is okay. There are some transgender people who don't identify as trans. You know, they identify as male or female, even if they were born a different sex when they came into the world. So, you know, that kind of information and that kind of capacity I really want to build, not only for high school students, but, you know, also in the world. So it's like I talk about this a lot with my mom, who, you know, I think a little bit of her thinks I'm crazy, but she just grew up in a different world. You know, I have been pushed into different spaces. You know, it's like sometimes people call me he, and sometimes people call me she, and sometimes people call me they and or them. And I don't believe that there's any way to mispronoun me. You know what I mean? Because it's people are speaking to people are reacting and speaking to different like components of my expression. And they may not, I may not have time for them to get the whole picture, you know, but I think of like, I love the story of the phoenix and how, you know, there's only one phoenix at a time. And, you know, the story of the phoenix is in a lot of different cultures, like Native American, there's a Chinese phoenix, there's a Japanese phoenix. And the story of the phoenix is that, you know, it set itself on fire when it could no longer grow. And from the ashes rose a new phoenix that was stronger and, and able to fly. And so it's like, yeah, I've made some changes to my body and I've made some changes to my pronouns and, you know, how I move through the world. But when people refer to me some way that's different than I've said I prefer, they're speaking to my ashes, you know? And so the ashes are part of the story. It's not that the phoenix set itself on fire and then bam, there was a new phoenix. It's like, it's the phoenix rose from the ashes, you know? And so, yeah, when people, you know, when my family, you know, refers to me and, you know, says different things that, you know, people that I may work with or go to school with, are like, well, actually I know Jamie in this way. And it's like, you're all right, you know, because I'm having a ball with gender and you should too. So when I was in undergrad, I went to the University of California at Santa Cruz and, go banana slugs. I did my senior thesis. I did an ethnography in the San Francisco Bay Area transgender community. And so I became like really passionate about like trans activism. And then I went to, California Institute of Integral Studies to get a master's in counseling psychology with an emphasis in community mental health because I wanted to be a therapist for queer and trans folks, especially queer and trans folks of color. And then halfway through the program, I realized I didn't want to be a therapist anymore. But I finished and I did my clinical internship and out in San Francisco and I started to, you know, identify more and more with being born in the wrong body because I was really uncomfortable with my body. You know, you're required to go to therapy in order to be a therapist. And that, and being a therapist is so much about your body because, you know, someone's in there and they're telling you their deepest, darkest things and they want to know about you. And you can't really talk about you because they're paying to talk. For you to listen, and so they try and figure stuff out by looking at your body, and I was just like, oh my god, I'm so uncomfortable. Like, I don't even look at my body, you know. I don't want other people looking at my body. And so I was going to therapy and just talking about how uncomfortable I was, and I had been, you know, doing all this work with trans people, and I was like, oh my god, like I identify with that. I identify with being, you know, born in the wrong body, but I'm not sure what's right. Can't run out and get a new body, but I can do some things. And so I had top surgery in San Francisco. And I remember like they kept, you know, they kept calling me he, and they kept saying he and man and all this stuff. And I was like, I don't know about all of this. You know, I'm just having surgery. I don't know like if this changes my identity or whatnot, because I'm just Jamie, you know? So change that M back to F. And on my hospital bracelet, and I'm just having surgery. And I had the surgery, and it was great. And then my relationship ended, and the research study, the HIV research study that I was working on was coming to an end. I didn't get into grad school, and I really missed my family, and I had been in, you know, San Francisco for so long, and I was like, I think it's time for me to go home, you know? And so I was going to drive cross country by myself, even though I couldn't even lift a suitcase. And my mom said, absolutely not. And she flew out, and I told her about the surgery. She grilled me for information, like, what are the risks? What could go wrong? Like, what are you going to do about this? What are you going to do about that? And I had answers for all her questions because I knew that that was coming. And then she came out and we started driving across country, and it's the best memories of my life. But I remember being kind of like, well, when is she going to ask, you know, to see my chest? And I remember we would go into restaurants and things and people would say, right this way, sir. And she'd correct them. She'd be like, it's ma'am. You know, like she had all of this anxiety around it. And people would like ring me up at said Native American Trading Post and they'd be like, anything else for you, sir? And I'd be like, no. And then they'd ask for my ID and they'd be like, oh my gosh, I'm sorry. And I'm like, you're fine. You know, and my mom was just like, so, it was really hard for her. And then finally one night we were in a hotel in Effingham, Ohio, which we'll never go to again. And she was like, okay, well, let me see. And I showed her my scars and everything. And first thing she said was, I look like a swimmer, which I thought that was a really great compliment. And then she said, it's not you. And I was like, oh, what is me, you know? And so we had lots of time to talk about that comment and so much more. And so we talked about it, and we talked about it the last, you know, 3 or 4 days across country. And the night we got into Philly, we were having a glass of wine, and she said, you know, I thought about it, and I realized so much about myself growing up as a tomboy and things that my grandmother said to my mom while she was growing up. And she was like, I'm so proud of you, and as far as I'm concerned, I have a son and a daughter and a Jamie. And that was...
exactly what you wanted.
Yes, and so much more.
What do you think society's boundary between female and male is?
I think, like, something that's really important to know is the distinction between male and female and man and woman. You know, man and woman is much more, and I might be answering another one of your questions now, but man and woman is much more socially constructed by your friends, by institutions, by teachers, by doctors. I mean, there's a lot of factors that go into it, and there's a lot of room to explore. And where those boundaries lie, I think it's different for the person who's either a man or a woman or something beyond, and then also how society sees you, and negotiating how you see yourself with how society sees you can be a lifelong process. There's some really great research about how it takes 5 male markers, I think, to every 2 female markers, something like that. And so people are much more likely to assume woman, you know, and it takes a combination of 5, you know, male markers. And those are things like your Adam's apple, facial hair, the depth of your voice, the your body size. You know, like, men have really broad shoulders and, you know, for the most part, smaller torsos.
When did you or do you feel like you crossed the boundary between female to male, and then both physically and mentally? Because I feel like that would be a little bit of a different answer for both.
So where I feel like I crossed the boundary is... I think it has more to do with masculinity and femininity. And then I let society kind of make its own assumptions. Yeah, I also crossed the line when it comes to... sexual orientation and to love, you know, because it's like, it's such a, supposedly, you know, for narrow-minded people, like, it's such a masculine thing to love women, you know what I mean? Or like a male thing to love. It's like, oh, well, you like sports and bikes and women, so you must be a man. And it's just like, yeah, but I'm not afraid to cry or be nurturing or sensitive. And so I just kind of let other people struggle with that. And it's like, yeah, I have a foot in both. And so I'm not sure if I would say I cross the line as much as I kind of kick it and stand with one foot on either side and don't let it.
So the boundaries between genders aren't always crystal clear. Depending on the person or social group, that boundary is going to lie differently for each. It's also really important to remember that other cultures don't only just have female and male. The Native Americans have Two-Spirit, for example, so there's even less of a boundary, and rather more of a suggested guideline.